it's a word of prayer, then what I'll do is this week we're going to be dealing with the whole area of the Old Testament law and the New Testament believer. I just want to touch on last week's the position and practice, okay, just to anchor that point, okay? Let's have a word of prayer first. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and everyone that's here already. We pray for those who are still on their way. I know they want to be early. I pray that your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts, help them to be early, help them, Lord, to come so that they can learn your word as well. We thank you for what you're going to do. Always, Lord, help us. We have the mindset that we come to church, Lord, it is for you to speak to us and for us to give our worship to you, whether in time, in finances, in just our obedience to you. Speak to us, Lord, and fill me with your spirit as I teach, and help me to share, Lord, and teach the word as you intend. I pray that the Holy Spirit will be our teacher, that we will hear the word according to your will. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Our memory verse for last week, I think some of you will probably have remembered that. Okay, why don't you memorize it together? Ephesians 5 verse 8. Ready? 1, 2, go. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the Lord. Walk as children of light. Okay? So that is the, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye children, now are ye light in the Lord. Okay? This verse teaches us that before we became Christians, we were darkness. Okay? I just want to revise this. And once and for all, anchor that in your heart so that you can teach others. You were sometimes, the word sometimes means last time, okay? You were sometimes darkness. In other words, you were in darkness and the youth that came, I taught it. Paul didn't mean that you were just 在黑暗中. That means you're not just in the darkness, you were darkness. Before you became a Christian, you were living in darkness of sin. But you were also contributing, or I were also contributing to the darkness in people's lives. Okay? That means that before I became a Christian, I didn't know what I was doing because I was doing all the wrong things, because I'm not in the spirit, I'm in the flesh. Okay? But at the same time, I'm also teaching other people to do wrong. I'm also teaching, that's why the Bible says he was sometimes darkness. The character of our life before we became Christians, we were darkness, both living in darkness and contributing to the darkness of other people, which is why for Christians, you need to be careful who your friends are, because your friends were either, you will either influence your friends as a Christian for right, or they are going to influence you for wrong, okay? So people who are not Christians are in darkness, but they also contribute to the darkness in other people's lives. That was what we were last time. But now the Bible says, now are ye light in the Lord. Okay? So now God has saved us. He has put his light into us so that we are now living in the light, but now we can contribute to the light in other people too. Does that make sense? It's important and it's interesting. Paul actually teaches, after we become Christians, we not only live in the light, we have the ability to contribute to the light in someone else's life. Last point is, walk as children of light. If we are Christians, Paul told the Ephesian Christians, then walk as a children of light. That means behave, speak, get involved in relationships that reflect the consistent Christian life. Okay? If we do, then we have the confidence of eternal life. That's eternal security. If we don't, we bring doubts into our lives, or we show that we need to examine whether or not we're in the faith of Christ. Okay, so Paul actually says, if we are Christians, we are in the light, and we can contribute to the light of others in other people's lives. And that's our position. Okay, that's our position. Example, as a pastor, I am a pastor, but I have the ability to influence other people for right as well. Okay? And God's instruction is to then make sure you do it. It's not important just to say it, make sure you do it. In the same way as fathers, as Christians, in our workplace, all that, don't just say you're Christian, act like it, speak like it, walk as children of light. Okay? So that is our position as Christians, and that is our practice Our position is unchanging. It's perfect. It will never change. We have eternal security on that. Praise God. But God wants us to be consistent in our practice daily as well. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? I think we all understand that, huh? Okay? If you don't, please... Any questions at all? Okay, if not, let's move on. Okay, today we're going to talk about the law of Moses and the new believer. Okay, this is a very important topic because many Christians or many churches, or even in our church, Christians who don't read the Bible, who don't study the Bible, they get confused. They read from the internet, they read from Google, and then there's some churches who actually say that, no, your church is legalistic, you're following the law. We're going to define what is the law, because the law of charismatic churches, a lot of different churches would accuse us, just because we stay with the Bible, that we are following the Old Testament law. All right, today we want to actually understand and what is our Christian life as a new believer and how is that related, okay? It's essential for every believer to make sure you settle this in your heart, okay? There are a few passages I want you to remember. Okay, I'll just give you this is your memory verse, right? This is your memory verse. Okay? But there are a few passages that I want you to remember. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 19 to 14. Sorry, Romans 9 to 14, not 19. Romans chapter 3, verse 9 to 14. I want you to remember that. Then the next passage is Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 to 14. And Galatians 3, verse 24 to 26. Okay? So that's in the book of Galatians chapter 3. You write it down. Those who just came in, there is no quiz, okay? But there will be a quiz at the end, okay? So that every week is just a fresh learning, all right? Please don't forget what you've learned week by week, okay? And then Romans chapter 7, verse 1 to 4, which is the third passage. I want you to remember these three. But these are the three passages that helps you understand the Old Testament law and the New Testament believer, all right? Okay, we are not Old Testament believers. We are New Testament believers, okay? And now, through the passages that we're going to go through, we'll go through the specific information. Okay, there are three passages that will explain this area of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Okay, we're going to start with Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Let's turn there. Okay, I want us to get into our Bibles. Romans chapter 3. We don't want to talk about the Bible. We want to talk the Bible. We want to see what God has to say. Then after that, we'll expound it as we go along. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 19 to 24. Let's read together that passage. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, okay, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. All right, there's a few points here. The Bible says, now we know that what things, okay, I want you to look at your Bible as we go along. I want you to make notes also. This is the faith that you believe in. This is the thing that God says, okay? Don't listen to what man says. Don't listen to what Google says. Listen to what God says. Okay, the Bible says, now we know. Okay, we know that what things soever saith the law. What is the law? Paul was referring to the Old Testament law. The Old Testament law refers to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Old Testament. The 613 laws of Moses. Okay, and there are many laws under that. So we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law. Who are the people under the law of Moses? Who are the people under the law of Moses? Think. The Jews. Okay, the Jews are under the law. Okay, the law of Moses or the Old Covenant, which is the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, was given. Okay, I'll keep reading. In verse 19, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. The law of Moses was given to show men that God is holy and that men are sinners. So in verse number 19, the Bible actually teaches us that the Old Testament law was given to show that God is holy and that man is sinners. Kind of like in the court of law. Okay, this murderer, I was just reading the article of this murderer who wanted to tell the judge, "Judge, can I impose the death penalty on myself?" Because he just murdered someone. He wanted to steal something. He was running away. The police was trying to chase him. He turned around, shot the police. And so the prosecutors, when the charges was read out to him, he says, "Judge, can I impose death penalty on myself?" Okay, the judge said, "No, the prosecutors is asking the death penalty for you. Okay, you don't impose it on yourself. Because what right have you to impose punishment on yourself? You're condemned." You know, sometimes we blame ourselves, and when we punish ourselves for the wrong we did, you know, that's pride. That's pride. Because we think that we do wrong and we are the only one that can impose penalty on ourselves. No, God says when you do wrong, the law will impose penalties on you. Okay? So we have to understand that. That's why the Old Testament law was given to us, to show that we are all sinners. Okay? Many men will say that they are right, they are good. What's wrong with this? Let's turn to Exodus, okay? So that we can understand from God's perspective when he talks about the law. And when, remember in the Bible, many times, okay, not all, but many times when we talk about the law, he actually talks about the Old Testament law as we know it. In Exodus chapter 20, I'll just read, and you listen to the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses. Okay, God himself told Moses, "I want you to write this down. And I want you to graven it in stone." Why? So that everyone will hear. Everyone know it's a permanent record. And the Bible says in Exodus 21, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which had brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." That's the first commandment. "You're not to have any gods in front of me." Okay? "You're not to make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, nor in earth beneath, nor that is in water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercies unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." Okay? "You're not to have any gods before God. Any idols." Okay? "You're not to make any graven image." The instruction is not supposed to make any graven image. Some people may say, "No, Brother Johnny, that image is just to give us inspiration. God said you are not to make any graven image. Full stop." In other words, I say, no tissue boxes in this auditorium, let's say. Okay? I say, "But you know, we need to wipe things and all that, so we need tissue." But the instruction is no tissue boxes. That's the law. If you put tissue box, you've broken the law. Full stop. Okay? And we have to be very clear on that. And then it goes to verse 7, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." You know, sometimes when sometimes we use OMG a lot, right? Oh my God. Oh my God is blasphemy. Unless you really mean that you want to honor God with "oh my God," don't say it. Because that in the Old Testament law, you can be stoned to death. That's how serious God takes it. Okay? So young people, when you read and you see and you hear from Google and all that, people using all these things, or your teacher using all these things, as a Christian, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord in vain." Unless you really mean that, "Oh my God," means I'm really worshipping God when I say that, then don't say it. Okay? Because the Bible says, "For he will not hold them guiltless that taketh his name in vain." Do you know that the Jewish people held the name of God so holy? In the Jewish culture, the name is Yahweh, alright? Y-A-H-W-E-H. But actually, the Jewish spelling is Y-H-W-H. They put A, vowel A and vowel E, so that, because in the Hebrew, there's no vowels. So it's Y-H-W-H. Do you know that the Jewish people will not even mention Yahweh? They will call God in the Old Testament the Most High God. Or the Almighty. Okay? They won't even mention that name. Because it's so holy to them. But today, you know, OMG, G's and gosh, and all these are just, this just, what do you call that? Tell me there. Euphemisms or a different word to replace that. Okay? We need to be very careful. How many of you have broken some of these already? Okay, let's go on. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Okay? For the Jewish people, the Sabbath day is a day of rest. They're not supposed to transgress that. It is death penalty in the Jewish culture to break the Sabbath day. They will take you out and stone you. Alright? Anytime they wanted to kill Jesus, just because he broke the Sabbath as well. And then verse number 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, and that thy days may be long upon the earth. It is death penalty if you dishonor your parents. Death penalty. If you disobey your parents and you're rebellious, it is death penalty in the Old Testament. How many of us have failed that? How many have lied to our parents before? How many of us? It's death penalty. How many of you have so far? Keep 6 out of 6. We all fail, okay? Thou shalt not kill. Brother Johnny, this is a good one. I never kill anyone. Have you hated anyone? Have you disliked anyone? You have. You've broken this one. Okay? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Brother Johnny, don't worry. I haven't done that. Have you thought about things and seen things you're not supposed to see? Okay? And then you look at it and want to take a second look. Both now, it's both not just guys, girls also. Okay? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Now thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Okay? How many of us can say, honestly say with 10 upon 10? Have, by the way, the 10 upon 10 before God means 100% every second of your life, you never break this at all. That is God's requirement. Okay? Now, when I wrote all this, when I said all this, right, when I said all this, it's not to make us feel guilty. Actually, it is for God to make us feel guilty. So that we recognize that we will never be perfect before God. The purpose of the law of Moses required perfect obedience. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 27 and verse 26. Okay, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them, and all the people shall say amen. What did God tell Moses? Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law. All, every single one. Okay? When we break, the law of Moses required perfect obedience. You know why? Because God is perfect in all ways. We have to understand this. I'm glad that you're consistently coming for Sunday Bible Hour. I hope to be able to, by God's grace, show you that our God is so holy. He actually demands holy compliance with every single thing he says. Because that is the standard of God's holiness. All right? Let's turn to James chapter 2, verse 10, which is the next point. To break one law is to break all of God's law. James chapter 2, verse 10. Let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. What does that mean? Can someone explain this? But not fair, right? I need to break one law. How come I never break all the law? Why am I guilty of all? Can anyone explain in modern day context how this principle holds? Can anyone want to try? Who want to try? Anyone? Okay, let me explain. Okay, anyone want to try to explain? Joseph, why don't you explain? Come. You want to try? Don't. Okay, I'll just explain to you. Let's say I'm a pastor, right? I think I shared it before many of you, but I'll share it again. I'm a pastor, I'm driving along the road, okay? I passed the speed limit. The speed limit is 60, I passed it by 10. The traffic police came. I said, hello, sir, can you please pull to the side? I said, yeah, what did I do wrong? Did you know you went over the speed limit by 10 kilometers? Then I look, oh, really? How do you know? You know, the policeman always got evidence on that, the speed, what do you call that? Speed meter, speedometer, where they then they see at the speed, okay, you are more than, oh, okay. But you know, sir, I only break one law, only just let me go. I mean, I'm a pastor, you know, I take care of people and all that kind of thing. I help the old lady cross the road, I give money to charity, you know, I do all the good things, you know. I mean, just come on, just, I didn't hurt anyone, right? I didn't hit anyone, right? He said, yeah, sir, I know you're a good pastor and all that kind of thing, but you still broke the law. Okay, he gave me a ticket. Sorry, sir, you got to go and pay. So I insisted I'm right. I didn't want to go and pay. You know, after that, the deadline for the payment came. I said, I don't want to pay the fine. Okay, then another letter said, if you don't want to pay the fine, you'll appear in court. Okay, so I didn't want to. But I insisted I'm right. I mean, you just think, what's the big deal, you know? And after a few weeks later, the police came to my door. Are you Pastor Johnny? Yes, come. We have a warrant for your arrest. What? What did I do? You went over the speed limit and you appeared the fine. Come on. It's just 10 kilometers, right? Yes, sir. But you're considered a criminal when you break the laws of Singapore, even if you just break one. Does that make sense? So when you disobey your parents one time, you're on your way to hell. That's what God means. That is very serious. You know, we've come to a time in modern-day Singaporean Christianity that we don't consider breaking or sinning any more important. But you know, you break one law. That's what James chapter 2, verse 10 says. You are guilty of the whole law. All right? But you know what? The Lord Jesus went a step further. You know, that's external obedience. In the Old Testament, you can obey the Old Testament law 100%. Not in the New Testament. Jesus says, it is said of old time, thou shalt not kill. So I never kill anyone, what? But Jesus says, if you hate your brother, you've already committed murder in your heart. Obedience to God in the Lord Jesus' time, God raised the bar. He says, I'm not just interested in external obedience, I'm interested in internal obedience in your heart. Matthew chapter 5, 21, Matthew 5, there. Don't have to turn. I touched on it the last 3 months of last year when I went through Matthew chapter 5. Can you see we're all guilty before God? That's the Old Testament law. You and I, even I as pastor, can never keep the law. You know, we're all guilty of breaking the law and we are therefore sinners in God's sight. Okay? Any questions? We need to understand this. We need to understand this. This is so important. In Romans chapter, go back to Romans chapter 3. Notice the last part of Romans chapter 3. Verse 19. And all the world may become guilty before God. The word become doesn't just say that. Doesn't just mean become guilty, but the idea is that everyone need to come to an understanding that we are guilty before God because of our sin. But there's no way we can be perfect before God. Okay? Then, so in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, so if someone keeps saying, I just keep doing my best, 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 then I should go to heaven, right? Verse chapter 20, chapter 3, verse 20, look at your Bibles, Romans 3, 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. There is the clue. God gave us the Old Testament law to tell us that we are sinners and there is no way we can attain to the perfect standard of God's holiness. Okay? The law of Moses cannot bring salvation. So we are depending on the law of Moses. The Seventh-day Adventists depend on the law of Moses to get to heaven. Some churches today depend on the law of Moses to get to heaven. The Bible says you depend on the law of Moses, you're on the way to hell. There is no way the law of Moses can give you any salvation. Alright? But then let's look at verse 21. I thank God for buts in the Bible. Okay? But now, the righteousness of God. The word without the law means outside of the law. Outside of the law. Okay? So let's say I'm in the law now. But God has a way of saving us that cannot depend on this system. God gives us another system. He gives us another system. That's like Mac and Windows. Mac is one system. But Windows is another system. If you try to do Windows and Mac now, of course, they get crossover and all that. But if you try to really use, last time, a pure Windows system or Mac, it's not going to work. It's not going to happen. Okay, we have problems with Keynote, which is PowerPoint equivalent. But we have, once we switch over, everything changes. You've got to change everything. We can't do that. Okay? So, But God says, now the righteousness of God outside the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. That means God's way of saving us was already testified in the Old Testament. The Old Testament tells us that we can never be perfect, but the Old Testament also tells us there is a Savior coming. There is a Savior coming that will save us from the fact that we cannot save ourselves. Okay? Any questions up to there? Jonathan, do you understand? Sure. Understand. Don't ask me 2 years later, Pastor, I don't remember. Okay? You need to understand this. Okay? Because I can tell you, if you don't understand this, every time you sin, that's why many young Christians, every time they sin, they feel that they need to get saved again. Right? We'll go on first. In verse 21. 22. Even the righteousness which is by faith. If I can never keep the law, if I can never do right, do you realize we can never be saved? Unless God provides a different system. You know what's that system? God did this. Alright, you cannot do it. Okay, someone else who can. And when he has completed everything that you are supposed to do, on the fact that 看在他的份上, look, because he has done all this, I'm going to accept you if you accept him. Does that make sense? And that was what is done. And in order to accept him, knowing I cannot save myself, I need to put faith in that guy. The Bible says in verse 21, now the righteousness, okay, sorry, verse 22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that have faith, believe, for there is no difference. Verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us here have sinned, right? There is no difference whether I'm whether I have this job or that job, whether I'm a millionaire or not, whether I'm Filipino or Singaporean, all of us are on the same level point. There is no Filipino or Chinese in the sight of God. We are all sinners before God. All have sinned. But in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. The word freely means this. We cannot keep the law. God has provided a substitute. This substitute is the Lord Jesus Christ. He was able to keep the entire law, so he is perfect. Okay? So when Jesus died for us for our sins, he was more than qualified to die for us. And then he rose again the third day. When we put, God says, if you will put faith in my son who has done all these things for you, I'll accept that. I will accept that. Which is what happened. And we can only receive it as a gift. That's why we are justified freely. It doesn't cost us anything. We are set free when we put faith in Jesus Christ because of what he has done. Any questions? I hope this becomes glaringly clear for what God has saved you from. Okay, any questions? Okay. Salvation is our faith in Christ. The way of salvation is not through the law of Moses, but through Jesus. Okay, the law demanded that the sinner die and Jesus die in our place. The law demanded that blood be shed and Jesus shed his righteous blood in payment for our sins. Write down Hebrews 9:22 and remember it for the rest of your life. Okay? Because there is teaching in Christianity today that says you are not saved by the blood of Christ, you are saved by the death of Christ. The Bible says your sins can only be forgiven if the blood of Christ was shed. You need to know this. Okay? Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You and I are on our way to heaven because of what? That's why, do you know why we preach Jesus and him crucified? Because he is our great example. He is our great sacrifice. He is our great God who took our place. That's why God says all honor and glory must go to the Lord Jesus Christ in the church throughout all ages. Alright? That's in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. It is a summary. It is a summary of this passage. Under the law refers to the Mosaic law. Under the law means all men are guilty. We talk at length about that. The Ten Commandments show us we are all guilty before God. We are all guilty before God. No flesh can be justified. That's why if people depend on their good works. That's why I was very sad when one man when I was talking to them, it says that, well, Pastor, I hope God will accept me into heaven because I'm doing my best. There's no best. is man's best. We need to accept God's best, Lord Jesus. Okay? No flesh can be justified. That means whatever we do, we can never get to heaven. When I was in the Philippines, I spoke to this this Filipino who was he was the brother of the person in charge of the Airbnb there. So I had the chance to share with him the gospel. He's a Catholic, and he said that he felt that, well, as long as I keep the mass and all that, you feel it's okay, he's going to heaven. You know, you depend on good works. So I told him, sir, if you depend on good works, you'll never make it to heaven. I felt he was a little bit offended by that, because he was quite diplomatic, because I'm a guest. You cannot offend a guest. But you know what? I thank God I was able to very kindly, but very, sir, if you depend on that, you'll never make it to heaven. Because Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? The righteousness of God refers to the gospel, which is not given under the law. It's a different system. It's a system of faith, with a trust and belief in Christ. That's why Christianity is not a religion. It's God bringing us back to Him. It's a relationship. If you're just following Christ as a religion, you're on your way to hell. Jesus did not come to set up religion. He came to bring us back to God. Okay? The righteousness was already witnessed in the Old Testament. By the Old Testament, I said just now, the righteousness is universal because it's for everyone, and God's righteousness is only by grace. Okay? There's nothing you can do to receive it. You just have to accept it by grace. Okay? Any questions? We'll move on to the next passage, okay? Let's turn to Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Next passage, the Old Testament and the New Testament believer. Okay. This is a passage that you use also when you are helping someone else understand. God rejects divorce. Divorce is a sin. Okay? I'll just read through and then you can understand that. But this firstly has to do with the application of the law of Moses to the Christian. Okay? So let me just read that in Romans chapter 7. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Okay? Those people who understand the law during that time. How that the law had control or dominion over a man as long as he lives. As long as you are a citizen of Singapore, you are subject to all the laws of Singapore. Even every foreigner that come in, you have to be subject to the law. Right? Some our foreign friends who come to Singapore to work, and if they are foreigners, they are not Singapore citizens or PR. They don't get CPF, right? They don't get CPF, right? But of course, some companies pay them more. Okay? You cannot buy our HDB flats. Only an open market or something like that. That's under the law. You cannot change the law. You're under that law. You want to come to Singapore, you're subject to the law. If you do vandalism, you get caned under the law. Okay? So in the same way, the law had control or dominion over a man as long as he lives. Verse 3, for the woman which had an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband of be dead, then she is loose from the law. Okay? What does it mean? The husband refers to the Old Testament law. The woman is the New Testament believer. Okay? Or rather, the unsaved Christian. Christians cannot be unsaved. The unsaved person. So when a woman wants to live under the husband, which is Old Testament law, then this woman is controlled by the Old Testament law. But if the husband be dead, verse 3, so then if while the husband liveth, she is married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. She's called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she's free from the law, so that she is no adulteress. Therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. Now, this is a very wonderful thing. You and I, before we became Christians, we were under the law. And the law said, you better do this, you better do that, you better do this, you better do that. All right? Because otherwise, you're going to hell. And you know, all the system of religion is today, you know, a lot of gods today, the system of religion today is if you don't do right, the gods will punish you, right? In Chinese culture, is you don't do right, the gods will whatever, you know, they will punish you. Or I remember when I was younger, when we gave the food to idols and all that, you eat the rice, your mouth will become crooked, right? Yeah, my mom is laughing. So she remember last time she also told me that. Okay, you eat the food offered to idols, your mouth will become crooked. It's always about doing so that someone can actually. But you know, that's the husband, the old husband, old husband. And so this wife served this husband out of fear. I've got to do it, otherwise I get punished. I've got to do it, otherwise I will suffer wrong. But when this husband is dead, I'm married to a new husband. Guess what this husband did for me? He died for us and rose again. You know what that means? Our new husband, we love this new husband is because he gave his life for us out of love. So when we are joined to him, we join to him and serve him because we love him. Does that make sense? It's no longer about what can I see? It's no longer about me being frightened. But I serve Jesus because I love him. I serve Jesus because of what he has done for me. Okay? In verse 4 again, therefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law, dead to the Old Testament, by the body of Christ. Jesus died for us, that we should be married to another, Jesus, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. That means we can truly grow. We are set free to grow, and we can bring forth fruit unto God. All right? Any question? Questions? In verse 6, I'll just read that. And now we are delivered from the law, Old Testament, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. That means, formally, I still believe, you know, there are still some, I won't tell you who, but it's interesting in our church. There was one man who came to me. I remember we had fasting and praying last week, right? This person came to me and say, Pastor, this fasting and praying is like Lent. You know what is Lent? L-E-N-T. You know what is Lent? Lent is the practice of self-abasement for the Catholics before Easter. Lent. Is that right? That they will deny this, they will deny that. There was one American say, you know, for the Lenten season, Lent. Not L-A-N-T-E-R-N. It's L-E-N. Okay? For the next 40 days, I will not eat chocolates. That is their sacrifice before the Easter. That's Lent. But you know what he says? Immediately after the Mass, I'm going out, and I'm going to buy the biggest box of chocolate you can find, and I'm going to gorge on. I bring that out to bring this. We can be genuinely safe in our hearts, but we can still have the old ways of thinking. The Bible requires us to change our minds by reading what it says here. All right? Any questions? So when we serve Christ in ambassador, you serve Christ because you love him. You serve Christ because you have a new spirit. You serve Christ because, Lord, I'm not going to allow sin to control me anymore. I'm no longer under the control of sin. I can give up sin with your help because you have set me free. You are no longer under the old husband. It's dead. The law is dead. As Christians, we are free. That's why we can be ourselves. We are confident. Yeah, we fall. Yeah, we fail. Yeah, we sin. What do you do when you sin? Just confess it and just move forward for God. You know? We have set free. A person who is in sin and cannot get out of sin. There can be two reasons. Number one, you're so enslaved in it, you refuse to give up. That's your problem as a Christian. Or you have never been free from your old husband. In other words, you've never been saved. Every Christian has the power to overcome sin. Because with Jesus in your life, there is no way you cannot overcome sin. Okay, because he is our creator. That's what God is trying to tell us. Okay, so one more passage quickly. Any questions? The Christian has new power. Galatians chapter 3, verse 10. Okay, I'll just quickly go through this. Time is running away. Any questions? Galatians chapter 3. Galatians is a very powerful passage because Paul writes specifically because some people are still saying you must live under the law. You must be circumcised in order to be saved. Paul says no. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 10, let me read. For as many as are under the works of the law, under the curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Okay? Remember, in order to be holy before God, you need what? 100% perfect obedience, right? That's what it means. If you do not continue in the Old Testament law, if you break even one, even if it's one in your whole lifetime, you have broken the whole law. That is how serious we've got. Because God is perfect. Okay? Then in verse 11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, because the just shall live by faith. The only way we can be saved is, like I say again, there was this man who is perfect. He fulfilled all the law of Moses. When he went to the cross and died for us, when we put faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, God accepts that as a sacrifice for our sin. Does that make sense? Just like in the Old Testament, year by year, every Jewish person have to bring a lamb. That lamb is a substitute for every family's sin. And so when this perfect lamb is presented before God and the blood is shed, God accepts that lamb to pay for the sins of the family for 1 year. It's kind of like a yearly subscription. Every year you got to pay one lamb. You know, when Jesus Christ came, John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Alright? And we need to put our faith in that lamb. Okay? Any questions? And let's keep going in the verse. Verse 12. And the law, but the law is not of faith. If you want to keep the Old Testament law, it's not of faith. The man that doeth them shall live in them. In other words, if you want to truly be saved, then you better keep the whole law. If you say, no, Brother Johnny, I believe the Moses law is still the same, then you have to keep every single one, every single day, every single second of your life. Okay? Verse 13, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every man that hangeth on a tree. You know, when this was written in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe, crucifixion has not been invented yet as a way of execution. 2,000 years before the Romans invented crucifixion, God had to put it in Deuteronomy, cursed is every man that hangeth on the tree. That's God. He knew that Jesus was going to die on the cross. That the blessing of Abraham, what blessing? Suddenly Abraham came out. Why? Because in Abraham, God promised that in Abraham shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because Abraham, by faith, followed God. And remember, Abraham came first, then the law of Moses. And God says, if you follow the faith of Abraham, then you have salvation. If you follow the law, you will be condemned. If you want to follow the law, you have to keep 100%. Then God accepts you. But if you say, Lord, I cannot keep the law, but I will trust in your substitute, then we have 100% confidence because Jesus has paid it all. Okay? That the blessing of Abraham might come on us, the Gentiles, through Jesus Christ, that may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Okay? So, law of Moses required perfect obedience. Okay. So, Christ took the punishment demanded by the law, he died in the sinner's place in order to provide us with eternal salvation. Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 24-25. Therefore, the law, the Moses law, was our schoolmaster, the teacher, to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The Old Testament law is to tell us we can never save ourselves. He's a teacher. Say, look guys, you cannot save yourself. Try as you might, you can never save yourself. But you know who can? Jesus Christ. That's why even in the Old Testament, it testified to the coming of Christ. Okay? This is the major purpose of the law. The major purpose of the law is to show us our sinful condition and to lead us to put faith in Christ. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? Any questions? Better ask first. Don't delay too long. I'll only give you 10 minutes for the quiz. Okay? Because you need to... Yes, sir. the Gentiles? Well, there are certain Gentiles who trusted Christ. Ruth was one. He's a Moabitess. Rahab. She was a Canaanite. Who else? Who else? And went to hell. That's tough, but that's what the Bible says. King Saul. I personally believe King Saul is probably in heaven. But you know, you ask these questions, it's all speculation. You never know. Okay? But I can tell you dogmatically from the Bible to answer Brother Gideon's question. And some people, please don't blame God for this. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we look at the, that's why a lot of people say that, well, how come God ask King Saul to kill all the Amalekites? Even babies or so he killed. You know why God did that? Because God gave Amalekites 400 years to repent. 400 years. In fact, God says from the time of Genesis, I'm going to be patient with Amalekites. But when King Saul came on the scene, say, that's it, that's enough. They have killed enough people. They have sacrificed to demons. I'm going to stop the entire culture. Think of the Amalekites as a Hitler. You know Hitler? What did Hitler do? He killed millions and millions of people. And anyone who kills him gets a reward, right? That was what God did. So please don't misunderstand God. When you see in the Bible, God is so cruel. Kill everyone. God has to exterminate the entire culture. He cannot even leave any trace. You know why? Because 斩草除根秋风吹又生. If you allow any semblance of the sin to continue, it will keep coming out again. God had to eradicate the entire culture. Simply because you're sinners. Okay? So please understand that. All right? For us as Christians, when we attempt to think God is unfair, okay, sometimes it may, all right? There's many non-Christians or even some people, God is so unfair, and that's why I leave the faith. Actually, God's not unfair. Why I say God is not unfair? Number one, God has already told us that we've sinned. It's the punishment. But men, because they know that they sin, they keep on doing it. So God has to deal with that sin, number one. Number two, in the New Testament, people also ask, what about people in different countries of this world who have never heard the gospel? Would they still go to hell? Yes, they will. Then that's not fair. No, it's very fair. Jesus already died, and Jesus asked the New Testament church to go. We are responsible to go and tell them. Because that's what God says. Okay? So I just want to, just to make sure that we have the proper view of God. I think our Heavenly Father sometimes have been very misrepresented, misunderstood. And as Christians, even who ought to be loving God, we accuse God of being unfair. No, He's never unfair. If God was unfair, He would never send His Son to die for us. Think about that. But you know, think of yourself as one of the people on the Titanic on that day. You know the Titanic? How many people were there on the Titanic? 2,500 people. Estimate. How many people got rescued? About 700. Okay, about 750-700 people got rescued. Okay? Would you, who is being rescued from the sinking Titanic, say, hey, God's not fair. He saved me, He didn't save that person. Think about yourself. Boat's going down. Freezing cold. Supposedly no help inside. All of the blue, the Carpathia, which is actually some of the sailing boat nearby, came. And there were some boats that you would manage to get into. And then as you're being rescued from the waters, as you sail past, and you see those dead bodies inside there, would you think, hey, God's very unfair. Leh. How come He saved me and I'll save them? You wouldn't think that. You know what we'll think? God, thank you for saving me. Yes? Yes? Only a proud person would look at God and say, God, you're unfair. When we realize that we deserve to sink like the others in the Titanic down to the depths of the Atlantic Ocean in freezing waters, but God chose to save us. Do you know the captain of the Carpathia apparently was a Christian? And when he went out, he didn't know what was out there. He said, look, there's a distress signal, we've got to go. And the next morning, he realized in front was a whole sheet of ice. but he managed to rescue as many people as possible. Was God at the Titanic? Yes, he was. Any questions? I can go on and on. God is never unfair. You know what? You know what was unfair? It was unfair that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us. It was unfair. God, he didn't do anything. But we just have to thank God, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Okay? Any questions?